Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Last week, Chick-fil-A President Dan Cathy made the quote-unquote mistake of saying he believes marriage should only be between one man and one woman and warned of God's judgment on America. Quote, "I think we're inviting God's judgment on our nation when we shake our fist at him and say, we know better than you as to what constitutes a marriage. I pray God's mercy on our generation that has such a prideful, arrogant attitude to think that we have the audacity to define what marriage is about," unquote. Homosexual activists and their allies have been attacking the fast food chain ever since. At least two mayors, Boston and Chicago, have said Chick-fil-A is not welcome in their cities. Surprisingly, even liberal newspapers like the Boston Globe and Los Angeles Times have condemned the such actions by the mayors. Last Friday, the Jim Henson Company announced it was ending its business deal with Chick-fil-A in providing toys for their kids' meals. So, no more Kermit the Frog or Miss Piggy in those kids' meal deals. To help us get a handle on what's going on, my guest today is Laurie Higgins. She's the cultural analysis, I'm going to butcher that word again. I did last time I interviewed you. I'll let you explain who you are for the Illinois Family Institute, and you guys are located there in Chicago, and actually a Chicago suburb of Carroll Stream. So you are who? What do you do there?
I'm Laurie Higgins. Right. And I'm the cultural analyst.
Okay, that word just is a weird word. So just a few days ago, your dear mayor, Rahm Emanuel, announced he was going to side with an alderman there who says he does not want Chick-fil-A to locate in his district. You know, they're definitely giving the message that they're business friendly. They want the businesses to move in. But those businesses must adhere to what they believe in.
Well, and it's even more serious than that and a scarier threat to First Amendment religious and speech liberty, because they're saying that the owner of the business can't hold a particular religious view and do business in their district. It's as if there's a litmus test on personal beliefs of executives to determine whether you can actually set up shop in a particular neighborhood. And that's very, very dangerous. And I think that's why there has been such blowback against these statements and these actions by even liberals. As you said, the Boston Globe, the LA Times, the Chicago Tribune, the Chicago Sun-Times. I heard Whoopi Goldberg, very impassioned argument that this is not the right way to approach it. Let the business go in, and if people don't want to patronize it, they can withhold their funds. But when the government starts saying, if you don't believe in a way that I personally agree with, we're going to stop you from doing business. And, of course, they're utterly inconsistent.
Oh, yeah.
We've had this huge news story here in Chicago. I think it was on Hannity last night that Rahm Emanuel has welcomed Louis Farrakhan's Nation of Islam to help control the violence in the city because he has such influence in the city.
Yes, they just reopened the restaurant there, too.
Yeah,
that was part of the deal.
The closer analogy is Nation of Islam owns a restaurant called Salam that just reopened. It had been closed for some years, just reopened in the city in like July 6th, 7th, or 8th, around there. And there have been stories about that. And Louis Farrakhan, after Barack Obama made his announcement in support of legalized same-sex marriage, Louis Farrakhan came out. There's a video you can see on YouTube in which he condemned President Obama for endorsing that which the Bible forbids. And that's not a problem.
But, yeah, they let them reopen a restaurant, but then they're attacking Dan Cathy and Chick-fil-A because they hold the same views. Like you're
that's
saying,
right.
it's inconsistent here.
It's inconsistent, yeah. And that's what I have written about today on Illinois Family Institute, is what this really exposes and confirms what you and I know, which is there is anti-Christian bigotry in this country. It's much more politically easy to mock, ridicule, and discriminate against conservative Christians than it is against probably any other religious faith.
Yeah.
Certainly it's interesting. We know Nation of Islam, they're not going to take on.
Right. It's interesting that there's really a correlation here between Obamacare. I just thought of this because I read an article, I don't know where, somewhere on the internet about a Colorado family. It's a family-owned business, is heating and air conditioning, and they've been in business since, I think, it's 1962. And they offer their 265 employees a very good health care plan. But they just received a letter from the Department of Justice saying you have to change your health care plan to be in compliance with Obamacare. So thus it must include abortion and sterilization and all the quote-unquote women health categories. And you have to adhere to Obamacare. So you have to decide between your religion and your business, basically. So it's the same type thing. The ridiculousness.
That's what Wheaton College has joined some Catholic organizations in suing the administration for the same reason that Wheaton College, which is an evangelical Christian college, does not want to subsidize abortifacients, which are mandated by Obamacare. So, persecution is coming to Christians.
And, you know, and we're supposed to be a free market system, but yet we have these mayors. And I think just earlier this week, a Philadelphia councilman sent a letter to Dan Cathy saying, basically, you're not welcome in our town either because of your quote-unquote bigoted views on marriage, because we're a tolerant city and we're not going to allow this in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection, and to take a hike, basically. So
basically, that's literally what he said.
Yeah,
that's
what's quoted
in the paper. He said, take a hike and take your intolerance with you, which is an amusingly ironic statement about tolerance.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, you know, we're supposed to be a free market system. Yeah, we have these political leaders who are saying, because you don't agree with us, you don't agree with our views on marriage and the way we want to redefine it, then you're not welcome. You know, it's just totally against the entire concept of a free market system.
Well, it violates the First Amendment of the Constitution.
Well, but who reads the Constitution anymore?
A more conservative community, say in Oklahoma, that you have a mayor saying, if you believe that gender is irrelevant to marriage, you may not set up shop in our town.
Mm-hmm.
In principle, then Mayor Menino of Boston and Mayor Rahm Emanuel of Chicago should support that.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the question, looking at Chicago with the alderman there, does he allow the Boy Scouts to meet or the Catholic Church to exist in his district? I mean, it's just
crazy. Well, that's really, I saw this addressed in one article, because my question would be, obviously there are existing businesses in his ward that are owned by people who believe that marriage is the union of one man and one woman.
Yeah.
Is he going to try to get rid of them and have their, you know, leases not renewed? And he was asked a question, something like that, and he said he doesn't have enough resources to do that.
Oh,
and
really?
I thought, the implication being, if you had enough resources, you would do
that's
that?
That's the implication. But also the implication is that there are a lot of businesses in his district that agree with Dan Cathy and not with his alderman.
Well, this is the historic definition of marriage.
Yeah.
It cross-culturally throughout history. And, you know, and yes, in anticipating the argument from the other side is, well, we haven't always been right on everything regarding marriage. There were anti-miscegenation laws. That's too long to go into. And I would argue the fact that you're wrong on one point doesn't mean that you're wrong on every point. And the central defining criteria for marriage is sexual complementarity. It's actually more enduring and more cross-culturally uniform than our laws regarding age of consent, and even plural marriages have existed throughout history in many countries. The only form of marriage that has never existed, yes, you'll find these rare circumstances where some strange ruler has ordered a marriage between him and a young boy, and he would dress as the woman, and which of course is just mimicking the idea of gender complementarity. So this is just an absurd, for instance, Rahm Emanuel, who came out and said, the city of Chicago doesn't share these values. Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
In a city of millions of people, Rahm Emanuel is saying, and one that has a heavy Hispanic population and black population that traditionally support conventional marriage, he's going to say that no one in the city supports the traditional definition of marriage.
It's an amazing thing that he...
And it's arrogant.
It's very arrogant.
False. Yeah. It's arrogant and ignorant.
It is. And interesting that he would say that, you know, that Dan Cathy does not share Chicago values. And we're reading stories of how many have been killed in Chicago, over 200 have been killed in Chicago in the last couple of weeks. I mean, are those Chicago values? We don't want Chicago values then.
Well, and what's interesting about that, that there's not nearly enough conversation when they're talking about crime in the city and whether it's economic disparity and whether it's the accessibility of guns, except we have the strictest gun laws in the country, practically.
So you should be able to walk the streets safely at any time of day, then.
And what we need is we need strong, intact families with mothers and fathers. That's how you will reduce crime. When you have no father, and multiple sociological studies, apolitical studies, have shown that fathers can, strong fathers in the home, not abusive fathers, when I use the word strong, I don't mean abusive.
Right.
Strong, good fathers with integrity, intact families, that's what will reduce crime.
Absolutely.
And so Dan Cathy's views would help the city of Chicago.
Absolutely. Maybe we should write Rahm Emanuel and point out some of those studies that Dan Cathy's right on here. Now, on I think it was Tuesday, you wrote an article entitled Newest Attack on Chick-fil-A and Christian Ignorance. And I'll just read a couple short paragraphs here. It says, one thing that homosexual activists are consistently guilty of is misrepresenting the beliefs, feelings, and claims of conservatives, screeching hater at anyone who expresses moral and views on volitional homosexual acts with which they disagree. And why do they screech hater? They do because it works. It effectively silences dissent by creating fear and embarrassment in those who have not taken the time to study the issue and who don't trust the God they claim to serve. Okay, what's that big word mean?
Let's start with that. Ontological really just means the nature of something.
Okay, okay.
It's existential nature. So, for instance, when I refer to that, I'm saying they're constantly using the analogy of race and homosexuality. Mm-hmm. They're saying that they are analogous. Mm-hmm. They are by nature similar. Of course, no one ever asks leftists to say in what specific ways are homosexuality and race alike, because they're not. And so whereas they will say that homosexuality is like race, I would argue that homosexuality or homosexual desires are a disordering of the sexual impulse, and volitional homosexual acts are immoral acts.
Yeah.
And actually, even CECAS, which is the Sexuality Information and Education Council of the United States, very left-wing, defines sexual orientation, which I have a huge problem with the term anyway because it's a political construct, but they define it as constituted by sexual attraction, fantasies, and behaviors. Well, if you define it that way, the complete difference between that and race is evident.
Oh, yeah. And that's CECAS's definition.
That's CECAS's, and I have it. It's in their, I think it's in their comprehensive sexuality education sort of manual that they have out, which is not a curriculum. It sort of establishes the principles for what a good comprehensive sexuality education curriculum would have in it. And that's where you get that definition. And so, I'm digressing here, but this is one of the problems I have with including sexual orientation, for example, in anti-discrimination policy, because they say sexual orientation is homosexuality, bisexuality, and heterosexuality, which...
But then they ignore the other 26 or so sexual orientations that have been defined.
Well, those are not sexual orientations. Those are paraphilias. But if you try to include heterosexuality in the term sexual orientation and then place it inside anti-discrimination policy, you understand how little sense it makes, because no one is discriminated against because they're heterosexual. And in reality, if you only look at objective criteria, every human being is heterosexual.
Absolutely.
We are anatomically heterosexual, meaning that's how bodies fit together, and we're biologically heterosexual because that's the way we procreate.
Right.
It's only when you get into these subjective, mutable, not biologically determined, not objective aspects like desire and fantasy and volitional acts that you can find any kind of sensible understanding of homosexuality.
And you mentioned in that same article, and I know it's very troubling to me too, that you'd received an email from a friend, I guess it was one of your son's friends.
Right.
That this is a very bright, well-educated, and compassionate friend of my son, and he's emailing you about the abandonment of sound biblical doctrine. And this individual has a BA in philosophy and theology, an MA in systematic and historical theology, and is working on his MDiv, his Master of Divinity.
Right.
And we both share his concerns. I've been to too many gay pride, quote-unquote gay pride parades, where there are churches, mainline churches, marching in those parades in support of so-called same-sex marriage and in support of quote-unquote gay rights.
This is a really troubling story because he was talking about he has friends who graduated from the same conservative evangelical graduate program in theology from which he graduated, where he received his master's in systematic and historical theology. And it's those peers who are writing on their Facebook page that they support Barack Obama's position on marriage, and they think that legalizing same-sex marriage is a justice issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what...
The social justice thing is getting into the arena.
It is, and it's getting into even theologically mm-hmm. conservative Protestant college curricula.
Yeah.
I think some of it is coming from professors and at the particular school that he and I are talking about, and it's where my son received his master's also. It's not coming from professors. But as I think I mentioned in that article, you know, when there's public debates about legalizing same-sex marriage, you will often hear people say, oh, but the country is being transformed
right.
on this. And they never look at the reasons for that transformation. They act as if it's just some natural evolutionary progress.
Yeah.
But
now,
the reality is we have de facto censorship in public schools
mm-hmm.
of any resources that articulate conservative ideas on the nature and morality of homosexuality, while at the same time kids are reading from freshman through senior year newspaper articles, books, plays, essays, they're watching films that affirm liberal views.
And I want to put in here that you worked in the public school system in the English department for a number of years.
I did.
So you know firsthand what's going on.
I do. I worked for 8 years in the Writing Center. I was a member of the English department at Deerfield High School, which is a very prestigious public high school on the North Shore of Chicago. And I saw what was going on at school. And I have friends who are teaching in other schools.
Mm-hmm.
You can search the library of your local public high school. Well, sometimes you need passwords, sometimes you don't. And search the library database and use the term sexual orientation, homosexuality, gay, lesbian, and you will find that public high school libraries will have anywhere between 50 and 150 resources that are liberal in orientation on the topic of homosexuality, and you will find zero that are written from a conservative perspective. That is hugely problematic in these institutions that claim to value diversity and honor all voices and
mm-hmm.
foster critical thinking. You can't think critically on an issue if you've never read the work of the best scholars writing on the issue. And I'm interviewed not infrequently by journalism students, Medill School of Journalism, that's Northwestern School, University of Missouri, and I'm continually astonished. The kids are very nice, and we end up having long conversations, hour and a half conversations.
Right.
Their ignorance on this issue is profound.
But yet they're willing to hear the truth. They're willing to hear what you have to say.
It's really interesting because I love high school and college kids. They're my favorite age of kids, and they're really interesting to talk to. Even very liberal kids can talk and not get so angry. I mean, maybe they go and they're angry afterwards
mm-hmm.
and call me names afterwards, but in the conversations, they're very respectful. And it really is, they've never thought deeply. If I say to them, so how is race like homosexuality? They have no answer.
They keep comparing it,
and they've never even thought about, actually, is that proposition true?
Right. We need to have, I want to say, a list of quote-unquote tough questions, or at least questions that make them think to explain their position, like you're saying, you know, how is race and sexual orientation the same? And they can't explain that because they're not.
That's right. And, you know, it's not just kids. It's Christian adults can't do it either.
Well,
and that's
like,
why
mm-hmm.
I argue in my article, I'm not saying the churches should be politically involved in saying, hey, support the Republican Party. But I think churches can
yeah,
and
because,
should be involved
yeah, exactly.
by providing, whether it's adult Sunday school classes and Sunday school classes for their senior high
mm-hmm.
students, they should be helping them understand both the biblical arguments about marriage, but also the secular arguments.
Absolutely.
And the reason I'm saying the church has to do that is, listen, the information is out on the internet, but you have to know how to find it, and it's generally not all in one place. I have a book that I've written, which will probably never get published, where I tried to do that, take all of the secular arguments and respond to all of them. But that needs to be...
Make it into an e-book. I don't know how
I just have to get around to editing it and stuff. But, I mean, churches need to be doing that. So when we are out in the world as Christians, we have an answer, and we're not confused, and we're not intimidated. We understand what we're talking about, and we feel comfortable doing it.
Yeah.
And it makes the attacks that we will inevitably mm-hmm. face be easier to take. I mean, I said in one of my articles, I wish that Christians would stop, if they even discuss it in public, which they rarely don't,
mm-hmm.
and I mean in public with your neighbor, with your friends, with your coworkers, where these conversations
right.
wrap up, that they wouldn't argue or defend their position so weakly, so apologetically, so
because
awkwardly.
That gives a message that they are not fully convinced themselves that their position is
right.
correct.
Or they're so afraid that someone's going to call them a hater
mm-hmm.
that they're acting kind of like they think it's true. You know what? I don't like being called a hater, but I know that my convictions are true,
yeah.
and I also know from Scripture that I am going to be hated. You know,
right.
we're going to be hated because the world first hated Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Bible tells us. We're going to be persecuted. Through persecution produces suffering, and through that our faith is perfected. We're told in James to consider it joy to encounter trials for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And do we as Christians do any of those things?
No, we here in America are so ultra sensitive to being called a name. And we think, and let's face it, that being called a name is not really persecution when you compare it to the
exactly.
to the church around the world
exactly.
where they're being beaten and thrown into jail and in some cases killed because of their faith. And I hate to say this, but we Christians here in America are in too many cases a bunch of cowards.
It is. Because listen, they say the persecution that I am, in effect they're saying this, the persecution I am unwilling to endure
mm-hmm.
is having even a neighbor mad at me.
Yeah.
And I think, really? Like, do you take seriously the lordship of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's profoundly selfish because we can see the trajectory of the culture because of the cowardice, apathy, ignorance of the Christian community. So what do people think the culture is going to look like for their grandchildren if they continue in their passive acquiescence and fear? What is it going to be like? So we are bequeathing to our children even greater oppression,
absolutely.
Even more diminished liberties, because we are so absorbed in our own comfort
mm-hmm.
that we will not speak out.
Oh, that's an excellent point. How can folks contact you?
Well,
illinoisfamily.org.
Illinois Family is all spelled out. We have a lot of information on the Chick-fil-A issue and homosexuality, any life family issues.
Okay, and all your articles are up there.
Yeah.
And people can get a hold of this article that I
referred
to.
There's actually three now on just the Chick-fil-A short articles.
Okay, good. And I know a lot of them are out there on the homepage there. They can just click on for the full article. But
the homepage, or then you can go to either homosexuality or marriage. One of the first article was listed under marriage,
okay.
the category, and the next two are under homosexuality.
Okay. And that's illinoisfamily.org, and I do encourage our listeners to do that. And thanks, Lori, for writing these fantastic articles, even though I have to look up some of the words to see what they mean.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
That's the reflection of a former English department employee for
well,
school.
Hey, thanks for having me,
hey,
Diane.
You take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.